Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we do thank you so much that we can come to you.
I'm excited about tonight's lesson. I think you're going to learn something tonight. At least you will if you're listening. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Second Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, the temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, God promises us seven, he uses the term, exceeding great and precious promises. Those promises are, number one, we'll be partakers of God's nature. Number two, we'll have special success in learning the Bible. He'll open truth to us. Number three, we'll never be blind to God's will. Number four, you'll have more foresight or insight with people and situations. Number five, you'd never lose the joy of being saved. Number six, you'll never fall. And number seven, you'll continue to grow in your personal walk with God, not just what you get at church, but what you get on your own. Now, remember, there's a list of eight things to give you these seven promises. God didn't say if you have one or two or three of these eight things. He said you have to have the whole list. You have to have faith and virtue and all the different things. They build one on another. We're not going to go through all of those, but I want you to understand that they all go together. And as we said last week with godliness, they all are associated with the fruit of the Spirit. You see, as the Holy Spirit works inside of us, he helps us with these eight things. It is a matter of being yielded to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about brotherly kindness. I want you to look at that verse there in verse number 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. I want you to notice something. It does not say brotherliness. It says brotherly kindness. I want you to look at it again. It does not say brotherly love. It says brotherly kindness. You see, it's a specific type of kindness, not a type of brotherliness. God says there's a specific type of kindness that you must have. Now, the key to brotherly kindness is the kindness. You have to understand something. We'll go to grammar for a second here. Kindness is an action word. It's a verb or an adjective, depending how it's used. But the word describing it, brotherly, is an adverb. So the object is the kindness. Brotherly is the type of. What kind of? It answers the adverb question, what kind of? So, you have to understand, it is a kindness afforded to family members. It does not say brotherly love. Too many times we jump off and we see the term brotherly kindness and we automatically go to Philadelphus and get into this brotherly love thing. It does not say brotherly love, it says brotherly kindness. It is a type of kindness. And you have to understand something. It is the proper treatment that we would give family because of closeness or biologics. You tend to be a little bit more kind and understanding to family than you do to strangers. There's generally a kindness, an overlooking of certain things from time to time with family. Say, why? Because everybody's got that family member. Y'all know which one I'm talking about? Yep. I know which ones it is in mine. Amen? Now, you feel there's a sense of duty, responsibility to respond in a kinder way to family because they are family. Brotherly kindness is our ability to be kind to everyone like they are our own family. That's probably the best way to describe it. It is responding to everyone as if they were our own family. Family closeness, and you do it by duty, not because of blood. I'm not afraid to say this. I am closer to the people in this church than most all of my family members. I really am. Yet there's a commonality when I am with family that kindness just starts automatically. I can go from church to church, preach in different churches. When I'm around God's people, there's a kindness that is expressed both ways. You say, why? Because we're all part of the family of God. I can preach in Maine, and most of them are kind people. I was sitting at home last night. My wife and I were. My phone buzzed, and it was from Brother Droulard, and he was with his mom and his dad, and they videoed a message to me. It was one of the sweetest things somebody's done to me, and I love them. They're good people. And they just wanted me to know they loved me in a special way. Can I tell you something? When I go to Maine and preach, it's not hard to be kind to people like that. Say, why? Because we're all part of the family of God. There's a closeness. Now, I want to jump right into this. Number one, God commands us to be kind. I'm going to say this. God doesn't request, God commands us to be kind. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Go back several pages. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I want you to look at something here. Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to look at the end of the chapter, verse number 30. Now, everybody look at me. Once you find it, put your finger on it or lick your finger and stick it there or something and look at me. You have to understand something. Last week, we talked about godliness and godliness in accord with the Holy Spirit, right? So godliness and the Holy Spirit, this list of eight things and the fruit of the Spirit all go together. Look at verse number 30. And grieve not the what? Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye what? Kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, so God commands us here. He said, be ye kind. He didn't say, if you want to, be kind. There's times I have to be kind, and I don't want to be. I'll be honest with you. There's days I want to pop a cork. I want to blow up, and I can't. So what do? You put on kindness. Say, but I don't feel like it. Didn't matter whether you feel like it or not. God said, do it. I must do it. And be ye kind one to another. Brotherly kindness then, now look at verse 31, is the absence of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. Because God said, let all bitterness and wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with you with all from you with all malice. Now look at me. Bitterness, that's unresolved forgiveness. We hit that a little bit on Sunday. Wrath. Wrath is a short fuse. Wrath is heated. You're always angry, always hot. Hot under the collar and angry at something or somebody. Then it says anger. That means you're just quick to lose it. Clamor. Clamor is arguing. It's like two kids on a trip to Minnesota for 24 hours in the backseat of the car.
He's crossed my line. He's on my side.
I get it. That's called clamor. It's just always nagging and arguing and fussing and feuding. And then evil speaking. That's trying to destroy somebody, trying to hurt somebody. God says brotherly kindness is the absence of those things. Kindness, then, look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kindness is a tenderheartedness. I'm going to share something with you. You may not agree with me, but I don't give a rip. We were headed to go see that 100-year-old World War II veteran today. I do something different with battle veterans than the average person. Because I know enough about people that have seen battle, listen to me very carefully, they don't want to talk about the battle. It's not healthy for them. And I told Brother Steve, I said, I'm taking a different approach, and I'll even tell the man I'm not taking that approach. I sat down and I told him my love of history, and I said, Clarence, I don't want to talk about battles. It's probably not healthy for you or me. I said, but tell me about some of the people you served with. Tell me where you were. And he began to open up, and he served under Admiral Nimitz. He was on the USS Missouri, the Mighty Mo, before it was refit the first time. Ended up showing us pictures of it. And he began to tell me about his brother, who was a tail gunner over Japan. He was a tail gunner and a B-29. He was one of those guys that sat upside down shooting. And he was on the raids of Tokyo. Now, I like that kind of stuff. I didn't want to know about the blood, guts, gore, and everything else. Now, we were talking about different things he did, this, that, and the other thing. But we never breached the topic of all the bad things he saw. Too many people want to know the blood, guts, and gore. Don't ask them about it. That's the worst thing you can do. Especially if you're trying to get him to open up so that he'll listen to the gospel. You know, after we talked about things like that for a while, and I showed him, talked about my son in the Air Force, showed him a picture. He wanted to know where he was, what he was doing. He was very interested. Wanted to know where I came from. I said, my mother? No. and we began to talk. We had a good conversation. It was very natural to say, Clarence, let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He said, well, I hope so. I'd like to think I am. I said, let me do something. And I opened up my Bible and I read 1 John 5:13 to him. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. I said, I'm going to ask you a silly question, Clarence. Can God lie? Nope, I guess not. I said, then there's got to be somewhere in this book to tell us how to get it or God's a liar. He said, you're right. And I said, well, I'm going to show you. I walked him down the Romans road, told him that we're all sinners, especially Brother Steve. I did say that too. I walked him down the Romans road. I clarified it three times with him. I said, now Clarence, would you be willing to trust Jesus to take you to heaven? He said, yes. Bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. It was that simple. Can I tell you why there was a tenderness there? Tenderheartedness is being able to have a tender heart. Men, I'm for being tough, but we also need to learn not everybody's as tough. I've prayed for kids with sick goldfish. I've prayed for puppies and kitties and you name it. I've prayed for, you name it, I've done it. You say, why? Because that's the tenderness required. It's very true. You better learn the tenderness that goes with it. If everybody's afraid of you all the time, you're back up the verse before that with anger and wrath and clamor, evil speaking, because nobody wants to be around you. I'm glad when a child will come up and say, my fish is sick, will you pray, preacher? Yes. God, help mom and dad to flush it before they get home. I mean, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, amen? Now, I never say, I'm going to guarantee that your fish is going to feel better, but they knew I prayed for them. Say, why? Because they need to know somebody cares. You'll go farther being tender with people than being a mean old rascal. Promise you. Clarence's wife's only 96. She came to the door. She said, I'm sorry for the way I'm dressed. I said, ma'am, you just remind me of my grandma. It's all right. And she did. And I never said a word. Never thought about it. You say, why? It didn't matter. She was home, amen. Door was open. We got to get in, sit down, and talk to the man. That's all that mattered to me. Be tender-hearted. It's purposely trying to be kind, not letting our emotions rule us. Listen to this statement. Tender-heartedness is not emotional. It's purposeful. Can I tell you how you get something tender? It has to be beaten up. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you fellas, you're going to have the snot kicked out of you a few times emotionally before you tenderize. You ought to do it yourself so you don't have to have somebody else do it for you. Amen. Till your heart keeps getting broken again and again and again and again. If you learn to be tender to begin with, it might not have to be broken quite as hard. The tougher something is, the harder you got to break it. It may not be total agreement, but it's not hot or angered emotions when we do disagree. Do you hear what I just said? Did you know that you don't have to agree with everybody to be tender-hearted? My wife and I disagree about a lot of things. That's why when I was doing the steaks tonight, mine came off the broiler minutes before hers. She likes hers like my boot leather. I like mine, knock it in the horns, run a candle over it a couple times, and as long as it quits quivering and moving, we're okay. I don't mind it even still a little red in the middle, cold. Doesn't bother me a bit. It's kind of like a bowl of Jell-O. You know, watch it wiggle, see it jiggle. Doesn't matter. Now, you don't have to agree with it, but we don't have to get upset with each other over it. My wife's learned after 36 years almost, she just doesn't look at my steak when I eat it. Amen. Doesn't bother me. I don't like looking at hers. I think that's a wasted piece of meat. Looks like a car wreck that caught on fire. You know, it may not be total agreement. But just because you disagree in an area or two does not mean that you have to be angry all the time. Brotherly kindness is taking the latitude we have with family and applying it to everybody. Why do you think at church we call each other brother or sister or miss? You say, why? Because it's family. I'll promise you this. I treat you men as kindly as I treat my brother. I can promise you that. You say, why? Because he lives in Florida and I live here and everything's fine. No, but seriously, many of you, he's been here several times and some of you have helped with some projects for dad and stuff. You find out my brother and I get along fine. We don't agree in every area. But it doesn't keep us from being kind to each other. We just have learned what not to talk about. See, some of you, you like poking the bear so much because you like arguing. You like that clamor. You like that anger and wrath. God says be tender-hearted and avoid it. Brotherly kindness is taking the latitude we have with family and applying it to each and every person. That's why at our church, something we say a lot around here, it's okay to say no. If you can't help with something, just say no. We'll ask again later for something else. Say why? Because it's okay. Sometimes it's not the right time for you. That's great. That's called brotherly kindness. I've worked around people, if you told them no, they'd call you disloyal. That's wicked as a stinking devil. So, God commands us to be kind. Number two, we're to love our brother without dissimulation with brotherly love. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I do realize I'm using the term brotherly love here, but you'll see where this comes in a moment. The word dissimulation means sincere, genuine, open, without hypocrisy. God says that we are supposed to let our love be without fakeness. It's to be open. It's to be genuine. It's to be sincere. I'm glad at this church, I'm just going to say it. I'm glad we have a church full of tough, rugged men that know how to say, I love you. To each other, not just to their preacher. Say why? Because that's love without dissimulation. That's kindness. Now, we draw the line. Amen? I'm not running up to any man and say, can you go to the bathroom with me? Nope. You ladies can do that all you want, but we ain't going to do that, man. We're going to take you out back and beat you. And we're going to bury you and nobody going to find you. Say why? Because that's not tenderness. That's just flat out weird. But that brotherly kindness without dissimulation means you don't poke the bear. You don't make people growl and hurt on purpose. Can I tell you something? You know the old story. Guy goes to the doctor and he says, where are you hurting? He said, I'm hurting right there. He said, well, how does it hurt? He said, well, when I push on it, it hurts. He said, if you don't push on it, does it hurt? And he said, no, then don't push on it. Some of you don't quit pushing on the hurt. And you wonder why, when you push on the same thing every time, people react the same way. Think through this. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. If you talk to your wife and she gets upset every time about the same thing you're talking to her about, then maybe you ought to figure another way. If you get with your children and you start having a fuss with your children every time about something, it's time to figure out another way. It is being kind enough not to bring up topics that cause conflict, argument, or pain. I said it just a few moments ago. With a World War II veteran, I chose not to bring up something that could be painful. Battle. Watching buddies get blown up. That's not something you want to relive. So, why do we bring it up? Kindness says, I'll avoid that, and let's talk about the things that are good. Some of you fight with the same person in your family every time because you talk about the same things that make you fight. Just avoid the topics. It's real. Well, they brought it up. Well, you kept going. You have the ability to change the conversation. I don't let anybody control that part of me. You see, it also means we have honor by preferring what others want over demanding what we want. Notice it says in verse number 10, Romans 12, 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In honor preferring one another. That means you give somebody else the preference and you take what's left. I'm not afraid to say this because I'm through it. As we went through my dad's home and we got rid of dad's belongings and things, there wasn't one terse word amongst anybody in our family. I had more trouble getting people to say they wanted something. Every time they said it was, well, if nobody else wants, will you just tell me what you want? Everybody keeps saying, if nobody else wants and nobody wants. You say, why? Because my family has learned, not just my children, I'm talking about my brother and his family as well. They were all in agreement, down to the point where my brother was delivering things and he calls me and says, hey, my son Zach doesn't have anything that dad made. I see that Michael and Mindy got a couple of those little tables dad made. Do you think they would mind if I gave those to Zach instead of them getting them? I said, nope, take them. He said, well, you better call him. I said, nope, just take them. I said, I have a couple. Dad still has some in his apartment. And if they want them, they can get them after dad's done with them, or I'll give them mine. He said, are you sure? I said, I'm fine. He said, oh, man, that would mean everything to Zach. They don't have much room, but that would mean everything. I said, take them. I called Michael. He said, Dad, is there anything else I have that he needs? I love that. That's called in honor preferring one another. Isn't that the way brotherly kindness works? That's exactly what God says. It's thinking of others getting before I get for myself. I know a famous preacher. I'm going to touch on this when I teach on the home a little bit. He had a rule. If he went out and spent money on something he wanted, before he did it, he saved up the exact same amount and handed it to his wife and let her buy whatever she wanted first. Amen. If I'm going to spend $300 on a gun, I'm going to save up and give her $300, then I'll save up and get my $300 and spend it on the gun. But she got hers first. Huh. It's amazing how we put ourselves first. All the time. I give up what I want to give others what they want. That's what in honor preferring one another is. That's like four people getting to the four-way stop and everybody's trying to get through first. Yeah. In honor preferring one another. It's letting somebody else go ahead of you. This is true. It's always going to be true. It's the way it's going to be because it's just the way I am. But when we have men's prayer breakfast, our men all are served and eat before I get in line. Say why? Number one, I can't taste. Number two, even when I could, it didn't matter because I want our men to go first. It's in honor preferring one another. You see, it ought to be that leadership is last, not first. Amen. Number three, and I'll hurry quickly here. Are you ready? I love you. This one's going to hurt. Go ahead and say, ouch. One, two, three. Ouch. All right, here it comes. Brotherly kindness needs to be a way of life at church, at home, and in public. Now we went to meddling, didn't we? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need to say that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. For indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. He said that we need to do it to all men. All men. Can I tell you something? Listen to me very carefully. Boys and girls need to be taught to be kind to each other, even if they live in the same house. I understand, brothers and brothers, sisters and sisters, and brothers and sisters. We don't all see life eye to eye, but that's part of learning to be a human being and an adult and mature and learning to get along with one another. I remember one time my dad punished my brother and I so bad, we had to sit at the table and look at each other. Oh, that was worse than good. I said, Dad, can I take a spanking instead? He said, nope. You just added 30 more minutes. My brother, shut up. He said, you just added another 30 minutes. Oh, yeah, it was like 2 hours we had to sit there and look at each other. We never did that again. Kids need to learn to be kind. Teach them to be kind. Now, that doesn't mean that they're always going to be. Maturity plays into that. But I believe a child ought to learn to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Amen. Not this, yeah, stuff. I'd only said that once, and I'd lost my teeth. If I'd have said it the second time, there would have been no head left on the shoulders. I despise when a child answers that way. That means they've not been taught manners. Yeah, no. How about yes sir, no sir? Yes ma'am, no ma'am? Say why? Because that's kindness. I'm 58 almost years old and I still say that. If I'm around my wife one-on-one at home, I'll say yes ma'am. Say why? Because my dad said, you better learn those two words. Wait a second. I believe in kindnesses that way. I believe that, say, how do you teach a child to do that? You make them do it and you do it to them. If I'm in the school, I answer our children, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Say why? Because I expect them to do it to me. I do. I believe we ought to treat each other with the kindness that we want to be treated with. And if you're not, you're still supposed to treat them with kindness. Everybody doing okay? Bullying is the exact opposite of brotherly kindness. Trying to be top dog and show how tough you are is all you're showing is how unkind and unbrotherly kind you are. There's so many things I want to say right there, but I'm just going to stop. Children need to learn to keep their mean, nasty, negative comments to themselves. Amen. That means parents need to keep their mean, negative, nasty comments to themselves. Amen. That means this, they shouldn't be expressed online. Social media has degraded communication in our society. Yes, Brother Steve and I were talking about this just recently. The computer age, social media and video games are destroying communication. Amen. People build their own persona and they expect people to treat them the way they see themselves in their virtual world. And they believe everything they read that's online. Folks, Facebook is not the Bible. Don't believe it. If you put your face in the book more than being on Facebook, you'd find out you probably don't want it as much. too many people act out their life in video game. It's unreal. I'm for creativity. I'm not for the violence, the evil, the nastiness, and the dark side of almost every video game. You wonder why we live in such a nasty, evil, violent world? That's why. Anybody can sit down and type on a screen words. You don't impress me because you can have 400 friends on Facebook. You don't have real friends. I promise I could show you 400 or 500 friends I have. They're real people with skin on them. We have addicted people to expressing their opinion due to the internet. Your opinion doesn't matter unless it's asked for. And even then, be careful how much of it you give. Everybody doing okay? So, well, I have an opinion. Good. You got a nose too. We don't need to see what's inside. Folks, everybody's got an opinion. And yours isn't more important than anybody else's. So, well, mine's right to you. Everybody doing okay? Number four, and lastly, aren't you glad? Brotherly kindness is to continue. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to notice a couple verses here. Let verse 1, let brotherly love continue, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in body. And he says, look, how about you start treating others the way you want to be treated? That means it needs to be taught and expected and practiced. When I teach somebody about soul winning and we're out knocking on doors, my first rule is this: treat others the way you want somebody to treat you or your wife at your house. Amen. Therefore, I don't walk across yards. The first thing I do is ring the doorbell. Say why? It's there for a reason. I was out soul winning in South Carolina one day, knocked on the door. The guy came to the door and said, there's a doorbell there. Use it next time. Shut the door and walk back in his house. So I rang the doorbell. The guy came back to the door and he started. I said, sir, I said, you were right. I was wrong. May I start over? He said, who are you? And I told him who I was, where I was from. And we had a good conversation. And I told him, and that was 30 years ago. 30 years, I've never not rung a doorbell. Or at least tried. Say, why? Because I learned that's probably a good way to offend somebody. That's why they put it there. Might as well use it. So I do. Now, if it doesn't ring the first time, then I bang on the door. Say, why? Because not all of them work inside. Amen. Brotherly kindness is to continue. That means this: we're to pass it on. We're to pass it on to the next generations. We're to pass it to our children and to our children's children. And if we live long enough, to our children's children's children. Being kind. Kindnesses, brotherly kindness. That means please and thank you. Everybody look at me for a second. I know people that train their dogs better than they train their kids. They'll make their dog beg for a treat and say thank you, bark and do all kinds of crazy stuff, and their kids don't do anything. If you'd put the same amount of effort or more into a child than you do a stupid dog or a cat, you'd be surprised what comes out. continue, let brother live continue. In the linear tense, it means to continue and to continue and to continue and to continue and to continue. I will never forget my daughter, her first year of teaching. I can put up with a lot, but don't roll your eyes at me. Amen. My daughter found out very quickly, don't roll your eyes at Dad. I can put up with a lot, but you roll your eyes, it's over. I'm going to come down your stinking throat so fast. And I don't care what gender. I really don't. My daughter was teaching. She called me one day. She said, Daddy, it happened. I said, what's the matter with you? She said, I had a kid roll her eyes at me today. Now I know why you got so upset. I said, paybacks are fun. That was the first of many for her. But can I tell you something? She got a big life lesson. Huge life lesson. You say, why is that? Because that's an attitude. And I've been around it way too much. If we begin to treat others the way we want to be treated, more people would act with brotherly kindness. Say, well, they didn't treat me that way. God didn't say get treated with brotherly kindness. He said treat with brotherly kindness. It's not about how you are treated. It's about how do you treat someone else. I can promise you this. I get treated with a lot of brotherly kindness. I get treated with a lot of it. Can I tell you why? Because I don't expect it, and because I try to give it. People see it, they say, well, preacher did it, it'll work for me, so let's do it. Isn't it amazing? Once we see it in action, we like it, then we have to give it, not worry about what we get. But I promise you, the more you give it, the more it'll come back. Now, I know some people don't like to be respected. Yes, ma'am, don't call me ma'am, too bad. You is one. That's my mother. I know that's you too. I don't change it. I'll be on an airplane or at the airport and some 20-year-old girl's working on an airplane or something. I'll say, yes, ma'am. She said, sir, you're old enough to be. I said, shut up. She didn't say grandfather. She said, dad. And she said, you don't have to call me, ma'am. I said, yes, ma'am, I do. My daddy's still alive. He'd slap me upside the head if I didn't. She said, but I said, I'm 57 years old. You're not going to change it. So you might as well put up with it on flight. Okay. You say, why do you do that, preacher? Respect. Kindness. Every one of those stewardesses and things that I associate with on flights like that, they're all the time very kind to my wife and I because we've been kind to them. You'd be surprised how they get treated sometimes. It's horrible. It's brotherly kindness. The type of kindness that we give. God says we need that brotherly kindness in our lives. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. How's your kindness? Is it more anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, or is it tenderheartedness and kindness? Is it us expressing every negative that we think, or is it holding our tongues and acting in brotherly kindness?